Today, in our session on exploring the Word, we're going to spend a little more time looking at Romans 8. The theme of Romans 8 is living in the Spirit. Now, one of the problems with trying to explain or trying to describe with words living in the Spirit is that no one really truly comprehends it, at least those of us on this earth. Now, those of us who are living in the Spirit, imperfectly, of course, we tend to know that. We can sense the presence of the Spirit. And the Bible would say that is true, that we should be able to sense our new master. But to actually explain exactly what life in the Spirit is like goes beyond human words. So what are we trying to do in Romans 8? We're trying to get a feel, a better idea of what it means to live in the Spirit. Now, every example I give you, every illustration I give you, will not fully delineate, it will not fully explain what living in the Spirit is. It will give us one little glimpse, one new perspective, one more piece of the enigma, one more piece of the puzzle. So bear with me on this and follow through. Every one of them, I believe, will give you a little more insight into what it means to live in the Spirit. I'm going to do a few more sessions on living in the Spirit. On this one, I want you to use your imagination. I'm going to talk about the one-eyed man. Now, if you had a fence in your yard, if you had a neighbor's fence or a fence somewhere out in the country, and it was a long, narrow fence, and you would walk down to the very edge of the fence, and you would put your forehead on the very end, the very edge of the end of the fence. As you look to the right, you would see only the things on the right side of the fence. And if you look through your left eye, you would see only the things on the left side of the fence. If you close your left eye, you would only see what was on the right side of the fence. Now, I want you to think of the right side of the fence as the spiritual world and the left side of the fence as a physical world, the world you see every day, the cars that go by, the sun that comes up, the people, the way you interact with people, the words you hear. It's the physical world on the left. Now, if you would close your right eye, you would have very little understanding of the spiritual world because your spiritual eye is closed. Your right eye is closed. If you were blind in your right eye, you would see only the left side or the physical world. Now, what does that mean? That means that you wouldn't truly understand the spiritual world. In fact, you wouldn't understand it very well at all. Somebody might tell you, your preacher might tell you, or your neighbor, or somebody may tell you spiritual things. And I'm talking right now about the Christian faith. And as you hear that, your conscience might bother you. You might say, wow, there's some things that I'm doing that I don't believe that God really wants me to do. And your conscience would warn you, and you would hear these different words, and you might try to change. You might give it a try. You might, and that's courageous, and that's commendable, to try to change, to do better. You may try to reform your life. And many times, what do? At the end of the year, we make New Year's resolutions. Now, we all know that New Year's resolutions don't last very long because they're many times just good intentions. There are things that we really want to do, we might feel guilty about or convicted about, and we make up these resolutions, but we really don't have the full desire and the power many times to be able to accomplish them. So when this happens, you may feel very guilty, and you may try to understand a little more about the spiritual world, but with your right eye blind, your chances of understanding the spiritual world are very limited, limited to what others say and what you read. You don't have it in your heart because your eye is closed. You might be able to say, well, I try to do good. I really do. And if you do a lot of good, I commend you. But the best you might be able to say is, I'm a good man. I fail, but I'm a good man. And the question is that enough? Let me give you another illustration of what it's like to be a one-eyed man. Remember, the one-eyed man could only see the things of this world. He can't see deeply into spiritual things. Perhaps it can be equated to a company that produces pornography. Now, the employees of this company, they may want to change in the company. They may see that this is really wrong, and they may feel a sense that this is really wrong. But then, of course, they don't want to lose their jobs. And many of them are paid quite well. So they don't want to interrupt any of that. And on the other hand, they don't really have the leadership to form into a group that can challenge the upper echelons of power, the executives. They just don't have the vision and the power. And in a sense, as we have said before, they don't really have that much commitment. So what happens? The company plods along on its evil mission, and the employees conform, and of course, feel guilty at times. Let me give you one more illustration of what it's like to see only the material part of this world. The Bible calls it living in the flesh. We have one eye, the other eye is blind. So we can only see one side of life, and that's the fleshly or physical side of life. As you might imagine, this is a description of a person who is a non-believer, who is a non-Christian. Even though they may have great intentions and be able, by their own willpower, to live a rather good life at times. The last illustration is going to be what I call the leaky cup. We were born damaged, somewhat like a leaky cup. There are times when that cup becomes very empty and our feelings get really conflictual, really painful. You know, the Bible talks about David at times when his cup was really full. He was saying things like, oh, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When his cup was full, he felt wonderful, a lot of goodwill, a lot of good feelings. He felt confident that everything was going to be okay. Now, what is it like when his cup was empty? He felt like a zero. And you know, when our cup is empty and we feel like a zero, it is probably one of the most painful feelings that a human being can have. Because we were not meant to feel like a zero. But when our cup is empty, we do. And the problem with our cup is it's damaged and it leaks. So if we put something in it and we fill it halfway full, the problem is it won't stay halfway full. It all begins to leak out again. That's the way our life on earth is. So what do? We don't want to be a zero, so we spend a lot of time trying to keep that cup as full as we can get it. Now, depending on how intelligent and how enterprising we are and the opportunities we have in life, we can, at times, keep that cup reasonably well full. But it's a continual effort because it continually leaks. How do we do that? How do we fill that cup? Well, maybe we get a PhD in education, you know, or become a doctor. You know, not that every doctor is trying to fill his cup, but that's one way we could do that. We could depend on others, you know, just kind of depend on them to fulfill us some way. We might even want to dominate others. On the other side, by dominating others, we feel like we're something. We feel more godlike, I guess. We maybe want to be an authority, a judge, or something like that. Or we might want respect, the respect of political office, or a teacher, or an attorney, or a business owner that makes a lot of money, and money is the next thing. We might decide that money is the thing that will keep that cup full. It's the thing that will keep us being a zero at bay. We may resort to sex or drugs or all kinds of exciting adventures that come and glitter for a while, and then we're kind of back in the old mold again. I don't know what you use to fill your cup, but I'll say fill in the blank. What do you use to fill your cup? And you probably know, and there's probably a number of things. The problem with this leaky cup is it's like a treadmill, and we never get off of it. It is only by our own efforts that we can keep the cup even reasonably full. We can keep this being a zero, being depressed, at bay. And the problem with this is we were never designed to live like this. There is a better way.